Blog Talk Radio.
Have that talent. Welcome to North Carolina.
Have that talent.
Have that talent.
I'm gone.
Got that rhythm.
I'm gone.
Have that talent.
I'm gone.
Got...
Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on.
I'm gone. I'm gone.
Come on, come on, come on.
I'm gone.
All right. Welcome, family. Welcome to our second day of the celebration. We are so happy to have you with us, joining us on our anniversary. We'd like to welcome those youth out there and ask you to lock in your dial at 646-478-0270. And we're inviting you to come into our chat room. We are soliciting for an assistant in our chat room. And if you are interested, you can come in and you can wear the hat and sit in Omi's seat. And we're going to be talking about a variety of things, and we don't want to forget one thing. We always acknowledge our higher self in this room, and we want to do that first and foremost. And we want to let the youngsters know that a family who prays together will stay together. It's very vital you should know that. This is the all-new feature show. For the next 2 weeks, you will be getting our anniversary show. This is our fifth year, ladies and gentlemen. We've been around Blog Talk for 5 years, and boy, have they been good to us. I couldn't think of a better person to work under than Blog Talk. I am thoroughly pleased with their service, and they do their utmost to give us timeliness and give us prompt material, on-site material, and aiding us. And I want to thank you, Blog Talk, for assisting me and allowing me to be on these airwaves unmolested, because there was a time when we could not assemble ourselves and we could not come together, and we were stressful. And I like to say I am pleased with Blog Talk, and I want to give a shout-out to Blog Talk. Two shouts out go to Blog Talk for servicing a community of people who need to communicate. Go ahead on, Blog Talk. And we also want to send a shout-out to Harambe, our neighbor and radio stations who are independent, and they're doing it for themselves, ladies and gentlemen. And we have at the head, the CEO and the founder, we have Delani Amon, and we want to say, go ahead on, Delani Amon, and we give you three Harambes. Harambe! 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 We support you because it was you who found that there was a DJ in me, and you encouraged me to pursue my skills in working the keyboard as a host of the Blog Talk. So I want to thank you. If it hadn't been for you, I wouldn't have been on here talking about my fifth year in the industry of hosting on the airwaves. And I am just pleased with it. I don't get paid for this, folks. I do it because I love it so much. But guess what? We are gaining momentum. And we want to be a paid organization so that we can use our gifts to come on here and make money for you and sell our advertisement. So come on in and listen to our show. Check us out. And you might want to post something on my site. I'm pretty popular, I think. And you might want to be on our show and be a guest. Today we have a guest coming in, and we've been talking about coaches and why it's necessary to have coaches supporting us. And we've asked the coach to come in to talk about their experience in working with you. And this coach is a very special coach. He comes from a sunny side of the globe out in California, and he'll be joining us indirectly. He has a few things to get straightened out, but he will be joining us this evening. And tomorrow we should have Anthony, the school teacher, a man who is making preparation to become a school teacher. Would you believe it? And he's an excellent school teacher. Anthony will be joining us tomorrow on our 5:30 show. And our time, you will notice, has changed to 5:30. I initially had all the shows at 5:30, but because I made an upgrade and didn't switch back in time, I lost my spot. But from here on out, the shows will be 5:30, and I think there are one or two that will be 11 o'clock at night. And we will make that announcement if the time will switch. As it stands now, the time is 5:30 p.m. in the evening for those young youth so they can come in and join us. Now, I want to send a special shout out to my friends out there and on stage. I know you're out there because you frequently look on my on stage. I want you to also support me and start listening to my poetry and giving me some pointers, okay? Excuse me. And we also want the Facebook followers out there to come in, listen to our session, and you can also view it right from the Facebook. Now, I don't want all of you to run up there at one time. You can download this feature to your desktop and listen to me on a regular basis. Sometimes you get tired of hearing my voice, and I do too. But from time to time, you need lecturing and you need reproving, and we need to bring the word to you from the hip. And you know Omi is always shooting from the hip. Now let's go over to the throne of grace and let's lift up holy hands and let's offer thanks and praises for this day. Because without the higher force, we couldn't have made it here. It took us this long. Look how far he brought us. Look how far he brought us. Thank you, Lord. Look how far he brought us. Thank you, Lord. That was a song we sang when I graduated from theology school. And it's still appropriate now, would you believe it? Let's go over to the throne of grace. And ladies and gentlemen, I've been working on my technical skills, so please bear with me. I wanted you to be able to see your Omi on the YouTube today. So I've been working feverishly trying to get my YouTube set up so I could choreograph the two things together. But unfortunately, I did not get everything done. But we'll get it done for you. You best believe it. If there's a way, Omi will find a way out of no way to get it done. Let's go over to the throne of grace. Standing in position as if we are about to receive with our hands open and palms faced up. We thank you, Lord, that you've carried us thus far, that you've opened every door, and you have handled all the airways and frequencies so that the frequency has always been ready to receive from us. We thank you for the airways and that we can carry messages across long distance and into different diasporas. We thank you that our voices are being heard throughout the diaspora, over in Africa, over in Egypt, also over in Germany, and over in Switzerland. We thank you for those followers. We thank you that we can minister to people far away as well as near. We thank you for the opportunity to get on here unmolested, to speak our minds, to talk about things that are not right. Lord, we thank you that you've actually given us a community of people, of followers. And we thank every one of those community followers because without them, we have no show. And Father, we ask that you would give us the strength and give us a vibration of love, peace, and long-suffering, and perseverance as we teach these human rights, a God-given right, to every one of our youth as well as our adults. May we come up on a new love that we have forgotten about and that we will renew our love affair with human rights so that we will extend the right hand of favor to every man and woman and boy and girl, and that we will meet each other with an open hand in effort to receive each other, and that we will not quarrel, and that we will have an understanding, be it black, white, Jewish, or Gentile. We will have an understanding and come into something called salubrious diversity. We thank you for the gifts you've given us, and we call on our ancestors right now, because ancestors, we know we couldn't have done anything without you. You are welcome here today, ancestors. Oh, spirit, you are welcome here today. We call on the ancestors from the east, and we say Ashe as we pour libation. We call on the ancestors from the west as we pour libations and say Ashe. We call on the ancestors from the north as we say Ashe. We call on those ancestors from the south. And if you're in the miry clay, and if you're still in the Mississippi River trying to make your way here, we call on you. We call on Shakez Diaz. We call on John Henry Clark. We call on Dr. Carruthers, Nina Simone. We call on the forces to be that are on their way here and that are still pressing their way on. We call on the forces to be to lift us up and make us strong. Now let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable, O Lord and thy Redeemer. On thee do I wait. And on thee do I beseech for help. Guide us on the path, not upon the path we have gone astray, but upon the path of righteousness. And we thank you, Lord, that you've opened every door. Whereas doors have been closed, windows will now be open. We thank you as we meditate on your word. And as you take a deep breath, meditating on his word and believing that through this scientific teaching that we can have what we say. We know that we are manifestors and we can manifest our lifestyle into being. And that we have not because we ask not. We are speaking to ourselves. As we find that the Godhead has been placed upon us, let us stir up the Godhead and the essence within us, and let us find the God within us so we can find the courage to be able to stand up like gods, and that we might be able to do greater things than Jesus, our eldest brother, did, and that we may be able to have signs and wonders that follow us under them who believe. Signs and wonders will be following. Now bless every household that's represented here today, Father. Bless all of those children that are in the audience that are represented. And bless each and every one of those followers on Twitter as well as on Facebook and also on the Aspen. We ask you, Father God, that you will go and get the people and bring them to where they should be and lift us up. Lift us up to where we belong, Father, and take away the struggle so that things will be easier for us, Father. And we thank you for the opportunity to be able to minister to your people today. And we say, to God be the glory. Straight ahead and into the future, Gary, Indiana, Detroit, Michigan, Chicago, Illinois, Iowa, Dubuque, Iowa, straight into the future. Straight ahead and into the future is where we're going. And ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to thank you. I am so grateful to you being a part of our family for the last 5 years. I know that you've been a grateful listening audience because I see the numbers and the scores going up. Some of you don't have the time to come and listen live, but you do come back and listen independently, and I thank you for spending the time in my room to listen to me. Maybe there's something that I said or something that I can lead you into proper direction. Hopefully that you will be led by the Spirit and not just by the flesh. Now, I want to thank each and every one of you. This is our celebration, so let's come up out of this gloominess, and let's get the party going, and let's get the choo-choo train going. And if those of you who have not heard our choo-choo train, come on in and check us out. We're doing it live.
Mes avertissements, mes voici un monde prise, ma vis, ma dévorate, ma je rappe tellement mal, ma mais c'est du rap, ma respect tous ces gars qui m'ont fait depuis des années, rappe plus, ma micro, vous méritez mes applaudissements, malheureusement, c'est un héros, ne reconnaissent pas de ce rap, ma il faut qu'il rappe, c'est faire du chacassement, négro, votre place n'est pas ici, c'est au parlement, parlement.
Goma, where my people need a money, peace is what you get when you stand up, the time is now, say me Wakati, they see me and ask, you know, Tokowapi, where you from, Carolina, but I'm really a African sun, hot as the African sun, freedom's about to be won, if we get you clapping your hands, nobody's clapping a gun, poa poa, duri sana, ndugu zangu, can you feel me, sawa sawa.
Wakati wako soka ha wakati maendeleo bidii na jiada soka mgongomani bila asira na chuki tenda mgongomani bila zikino na viki acha kukula rushwa hizo damu zishapita pamoja na umoja tutasimamisha Afrika na bidii Kongo itasika itasika hata itakubalika
ni wakati wa kumaliza vita ni wakati wa kushikana mkono ni wakati wa kujenga nchi wakati wakushiwa mishavenea wakati wakumesika wakufanya ya maana kila mshana wazi yake tutumike pamoja
Mana uja kujenga inchi yetu Kongo Even my flow, oyo tango wako tonga bolingo Ni wakati ya kwa shimu mutu na mali yake Telemo matu semeno, wa ubagaji Telemo ma, telemo ma ni wakati ya kukata Telemo matu semeno, a la corruption Telemo ma time is now, ya kubadele Afrika Telemo matu semeno, a la jere rebellion
Goma, sote tu mefika Goma, sote tu afika
sasa wakati umefika Kongo yote zima lazima tusikiki yote enzi moza niliona kama ni zero kwani kila siku tulipewa mipokero fasi mbali mbali ata paka na kisharo walipewa mipokero
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was a 2-2-B coming straight out of Africa, and we're talking about frequencies in this room, and we're talking about the movement, because without a frequency, you don't have the spirit. All frequencies travel, all spirits travel through frequencies, and if you are not familiar with the fact that your vibration and your essence that came from God carries a frequency with it. So you carry the essence of God, and you have all the encoded, innate ability of a God. You are not the God, but you have the likeness of God. So why don't you lift your spirit and lift yourself and be a God today, ladies and gentlemen? We're trying to raise frequency levels and raise consciousness so our young people will create and design their music after from which they came. And after the source, you have the source and the mind of Christ. So start lifting yourself and acting in that respect. We are not going to leave any stones unturned. I want to explain to you that we have a platform, and our platform is to force and to forge and to usher in human rights for all people. There are a lot of people being mistreated these days, be it black, white, Gentiles, or Jews. And we want people to know they have rights, not only the youth, but the adults. There is a training package specifically for you to learn about your rights. Now, the question came up, is there such a thing as religious rights, and does religious rights equal human rights? In my opinion, I would say that your human rights are God-given gifts, and they're something that you're born here with. It's sort of like innately you were given those as you were given the essence of God, so to speak. Your religious rights are something you choose. You can choose to stay in a religious group or to come out. But at the same time, we do not have the right to impose our religious beliefs upon someone else who might be an atheist. We do have the responsibility of treating that person with human rights and dignity, because everyone that is a God-given soul deserves the respect of being treated like an individual that has substance and has self-worth. Now, there's a few of you young people that are lowering your standards, and you don't even know your worth. And because you don't know your worth, you allow people to treat you any kind of way, and you're in bad settings. You're in settings where you're being enslaved, and you don't like it, but you don't know how to get out of it. You've been living in the shadow of your life for a long time, and you don't know how to remove yourself from it because you're not living your true self. Now, I want to help you learn how to live your true self. You do not have to play second fiddle to anyone. If you women are in captivity or enslaved in any part of this continent and you are looking for relief, you need to go to someone and talk to them about your human rights, your inalienable rights to be free. You do not have the right to be caustically locked up and baited or jailed without the right to a free trial. Now, it's important that young people should read this book, and I want to announce this book again, What Are Human Rights? You can go out on a website under youthforhumanrights.org and find this book and download it for free and keep it in your possessions. And mothers, you get you one too. So you could find out what are the human rights and what is my child's rights and what should he be standing up for and how should I advocate for them. Well, I want to say our music is something that we should advocate for and we should fight for it. You know, we used to stand tall for our music and the right to play it on the radio. I remember that there were groups of people fighting for the right to play Louie Louie on the radio. And today, all things are openly given the right, and all kinds of music, with profanity and all, to play without any questions being asked. Look how far we have come. We have come so far in the music industry that we don't even appreciate the little things that we have going for us. But I want to tell you, your religious rights could leave tomorrow. They could tear the churches down and forbid you to go into the temples, but your human rights are something you're born with, and they are something you are to command. And by addressing yourself a certain way and carrying yourself a certain way, you can command them. I didn't say demand. There's a difference between demand and command. When you command something, it's the way you rally yourself and reverence yourself around someone. They assume that you know who you are and respect yourself, so they have to give you accordingly. Like draws like. Now, this frequency that we have out in the open, ladies and gentlemen, it's a frequency that comes to us from our innate, and the frequency that we want to portray in this music has got to be of love, patience, and kindness. The music that we have been listening to over the years has been destroying us and destructively causing mental illness in a large percent of young people. And as we address that, we can talk about the benefits of bringing in music that has a frequency wave that will solidify and heal the soul. Now, to you soul brothers out there who think you're in the lab and you're throwing down and you're cursing out sisters and calling them out of their names, and then you dishing up these beats and wondering why people cannot see the beauty in them for all of the lyrics being bad. Your lyrics will destroy your beats. So let's be careful of what we draft up in those laboratories. Make sure we know that we're bringing life into a situation and not death. And it looks like our guest, he's here and he's arrived, and I want to bring him right in because of the time. We're on the air, 646-478-0270, and we now have Mr. Khalim Mohammed in the atmosphere. He is our coach. I'm going to bring him right in to our setting to speak with us about what it means to be a coach in the youth arena. Mr. Khalim, are you in the atmosphere?
Yes, sir. How you doing? Good afternoon or evening to your listening audience. How is everyone doing? I want to start off with just a brief I want to congratulate everybody that's graduating, those who are not graduating, and those who are going to be graduating soon. I mean.
Well, I'd like to also say, Mr. Khalim, we've been talking about what it is to be a coach and why teachers should consider being a coach rather than an instructor, and how beneficial is a coach to a young man or woman that becomes a long-lasting friend. And can you tell us what kind of friendships can arise from students developing something more with their coach and using their coach sort of like an advisor who gives them direction for their life? And what has coaching meant to you in your many years of coaching?
Well, you know, first of all, you know, I grew up as a young African-American or quote-unquote black youth in Long Beach. And I had a big brother. You know, I come from a single family home with a mother and a father, but my father left at a young age. And so my mom ended up getting me a big brother, and that was kind of helpful. You know, I came up like a lot of young African Americans playing sports. You know, my dream was to be a NBA basketball player. I never told nobody about it, but that was my goal. When that goal wasn't achieved at 31, and then I began to coach. And coaching is almost like being a mentor. Because you can be somebody's father, you can be a big brother, you can be a instructor, you know. And I started coaching just volunteering, you know, because I wanted to learn from the grassroots. And I coached at all levels from ages 6 to 9 on up to college. Once I even had a tryout as a professional coach. But anyway, coaching is so instrumental because it helps set a path for young men of all colors. I even coach some females as well, so sisters. One thing I do like about working with the females is that you don't get much backlash from them. Usually most people, when you're coaching them at a young age, from 5 up to like 19 or 20, that they're very attentive, and it leaves a lasting mark on your heart, because I can remember all of my coaches. You know, one of my coaches, just briefly, you know, I was in the military, and one of my coaches was a first lieutenant in the United States Army, and I played on the company basketball team. You know, he was a unique coach because everybody that was shorter than him, he didn't let nobody shorter than him make the basketball team. But one of my philosophies is everybody that comes to the game, you know, not to the game, but to practice, that they will play. You know, I don't believe in, you know, you got 10 or 12 players on the basketball team, and then you only play 7 or 8 players. You know, I've been in that position, and it's very uncomfortable. So, because people invite their parents, their uncles, their grandmothers to these basketball games, and I believe if you come to practice, you're going to play. You're not going to play a lot, but you are going to play. But once again, being a coach is really important because you can be a big brother. You can't be a father. You can be maybe, I would say the best you can be is a big brother. You can be a mentor. You can be instructor. But all of my coaches, I remember them, and they all left lasting marks on who I am today.
Well, you know, Kareem, I was so happy to hear that you mentioned that you've had a chance to play, regardless if they was on that first string of 5 players, and regardless of what their level of expertise was, because I can remember coaching and being a referee, and at one point they were telling us to only start our first 5, our first 6 running highest points scoring. And I can recall going to the school where a coach told me, well, we only start our players who are shooting over 21 points a game. And it was something for my son to rise to a level of occasion because he was like, I got to do 21 points a game in order to start? He said, yes. So my son then started, you know, telling everyone, I'm going to shoot 21 points this game. And it became a reality because that's what he did, so he can be on a running, you know, starting line. And he made history and was written up all in the paper because he scored 22 points a game. And when you said your sights high for young people, they do rise to that level of occasion. But I've seen children get just disenfranchised, get frustrated because they didn't get any playing time, and they just get up and walk off the team. And therein lies a good kid walking down the streets doing nothing, kicking cans, because he refuses to allow this coach to demean him. Now, how does a young person address a coach when the coach doesn't see the gifts that they have in them and yet they know they got gifts? How should they approach this?
Well, I would recommend if the player thinks he should play more, if he addresses the coach, what I would do professionally and my advice to a young African-American man, woman, or child, or even anybody, any nationality, when you address a coach like that, to have your parent along with you. And if you're from a single parent, you know, try to get your mom. If you can't get your mom, maybe get your big brother or your big sister. Or if not, then just do it yourself. But I would recommend, because I had a player, I remember I was coaching at Long Beach Wilson High School, and it was a Caucasian guy. You know, Wilson is down in Long Beach, California, and this guy was, you know, I was like really thrilled to have him. He was 6'3", And one day, you know, he didn't have no shoes. So, you know, I gave him a pair of basketball shoes. And then all of a sudden he just quit, like, in our, like, third or fourth game. And I was like, what? Why are you quitting? He's like, well, because he's not getting enough shots. And I was like, what? And it really kind of, like, broke my heart because now, you know, you can't replace height. But what happened is one day he came to we was getting ready to go to a basketball game. And he had a cigarette lighter. And we get on a bus to go to the guy. I said, man, what are you doing with your cigarette lighter? So I took it from him and kind of, and like threw it away. But my advice is if you think you should be playing and you're not, then I would address the coach with your parent or your legal guardian. Because sometimes people might come from a foster family. They might just have a single parent, either mother or father. You know, because, you know, and then you can ask the coach, Coach, what am I doing not to be playing? Because most coaches are going to play, you know, youth and adults are based on their ability. But sometimes coaches play favorites. You know, I was a coach that I really try not to play favorites. But in certain situations, people do. You know, you can only play five at a time. Usually you have a minimum of 12 players on a basketball team. So if a player feels like he's not getting enough time, I would go to the coach as soon as possible and ask the coach, what do I need to do in order to get more playing time? But I wouldn't give up, though, because let's look at Michael Jordan, for example. Michael Jordan, I believe, when he was playing high school, he didn't make the varsity basketball team until his senior year. So, you know, he got cut in his sophomore year. I don't think he played varsity. Junior year, I don't believe he played. But he finally played, and look at the accolades that he made. So you cannot give up, and do not let one coach tell you no. Just keep playing harder and harder. See, basketball is like this, real quick. Basketball, during the season, you're going to play only 30% of the time. 70% of the time is practice. So you have to develop yourself through practice. And one of my keys to basketball is easy, is ABC. A is ability,
okay.
B is balance, and C, so you have to just keep your head up. And you have to dream big, but you have to play hard. But you also have to be a student athlete. It's not all about, like, sports, right? And if you really want it, then you have to put the time in and practice, and practice.
Speaking of dreams, Colleen, we have a lot of children that have ghetto dreams, and they figure that if they can make the extra money like Dr. Dre, and if they cut the next booming rap, that they can make it out of the ghetto, and their dreams sometimes go up in smoke, and young people have escalated dreams, and they lose these dreams that are forthcoming, and you know they never tend to arise, and they don't see themselves managing the money that they need to, you know, take care of their family. A lot of athletes figure if I make it big, my family can make it big. So they have a different reason for wanting to have these great dreams. They're trying to deliver their family out of an economic status, and you find a lot of young men and women that would give anything to go to work rather than to sell drugs. And some of them will tell me, you know, I sell drugs because it's fast money and it takes care of me and I can make it off of this. I can't make it off of McDonald's and Burger King. So I think the main thing that the president needs to look at is how can we up the minimum wages financially for our youth to keep them out of these ghetto dreams of fast money, and to give them a chance to advance themselves and take care of their family. Because a lot of young people that are young men, they want to prove themselves to their mothers, and they do try to take care of them and hand money back to the family. But unfortunately, they're given these $7.50 jobs an hour or less than that, and they get frustrated and they quit. They say, I'm not working this job because I believe I'm better than that. But I also tell them that you're better than that than to waste your time and take a chance on selling drugs and getting sent up the river. So the music is indicative to what's going on. I see the music is advocating guns and
and clapping the gun and pulling the gun. And I put a picture on my slideshow of all those young students standing there with the guns in their hand. Now, we know that the gun is the equilibrium. And if they do not have an equilibrium like the so-called black man has, then they meet that person with a real physical gun. And so black youth used to never think about carrying a gun. They weren't equalizers themselves by virtue of what they were innately given at birth. So they didn't ever think about using the gun. They were always ready to use their fists. But here lately, I guess the black men feel like they've diminished and they don't have the great equalizer anymore. So you find more of them now ready to cop a gun and ready to pull a pistol. So do you think it's the music that's giving them the momentum and driving them up? Do you think it's something in the music, Mr. Muhammad?
You know, Sherelle, it's very astonishing that you brought that point up about, you know, kids, young men wanting to be rappers and, you know, living the life of a rapper, of a rock star, of a pop star. You know, I have a son, he's a rapper. You know, he told me he wants to be a basketball player, and I said, look, I'm here for you, I'll coach you. But now he's rapping. And, you know, I support him, you know, but I think the reason why people want to be rappers because they see these rappers living a lifestyle of the rich and famous with these gold chains on, nice watches, clothes, you know, they got women, and, you know, that's the lifestyle that a lot of young African-American males and some Caucasians, our whites and Hispanics, are dreaming of. But I think what's influencing them to go that route is definitely is the music. Because even though I came up going to a lot of house parties and, you know, partying and different, you know, I came up in the 60s. So I came up